A happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our Friday evening church service on this 21st of February, 2025. Welcome to those that are joining us on the phone, listening to the recording, and glad to have each one of you in fellowship once again. Praise God for bringing us through another week. And the sun is getting to shine longer here in our neck of the woods. So that's wonderful. Almost to 6 p.m. before the sun goes down. So that's always a nice harbinger of spring. And praise God for getting us through some wintry weather. What a God he is. I'm glad he's in control of all things. So welcome, dear ones. And got one announcement before we go into our service. The one announcement is a special request for prayer. My brother-in-law is in the hospital. He's been intubated and put into a coma. To help his body fight off pneumonia and a fungal infection. So we asked for prayers. My sister and brother-in-law asked for prayers. And his name is Ken. So please keep Ken in prayer, especially for God to work upon his heart and to allow him to accept Jesus as his Savior without reservation. So that's the bigger part of this special prayer. But thank you so much for holding him up. And I know that God's will be done in this issue. Welcome, dear Brother Michael and family. I'm glad to have you with us tonight. Our opening song is titled, I Need the Prayer of Those I Love. Again, welcome to the Mark Wells. Glad to see you, brothers and sisters. I need the prayers of those I love. While traveling o'er life's rugged way, that I may true and faithful be, and live for Jesus every day. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I need the prayers of those I love to help me in each trying hour, to bear my tempted soul to him, that he may keep me by his power. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. Ah,
I want my friends to pray for me, to hold me up on wings of faith, that I may walk the narrow way, kept by our Father's glorious grace. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love.
Amen. And thank you, dear ones, for your prayers for us, and our prayers are for you as well. And who would like to offer opening prayer for our service tonight? Please go right ahead.
Our most kind and merciful Father, we thank you once again this morning and evening over the other side of the world. We thank you for the life. We thank you for your word, and more especially your son who gave his son for our own behalf. Lord, we come before you and committing our souls unto you. Open our inner ears to hear. We pray that you send the Holy Spirit to guide everybody who is going to speak. May whatever they are going to speak edify us for life eternal. Lord, we come before you in a virtual fellowship, being a big depiction that one day we shall be under one Lord. Lord, we pray that we be among those when Christ comes the second time shall be saved. Lord, if we have shortcomings, may the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse our sins. And may your animals be written in the book of life, and if they are there, be broadened so that we may shine and let your glory be upon us, so that we may enlighten this world with your glory. We commit your work in your own hands. Do it yourself in a very mysterious way that all may comprehend and that Christ may come soon. Lord, we thank you that we put everything in its own timing. As you believe we are in the very last days of this earthly soil, many events have rolled on and are still rolling on. May whatever happens just confirm the fulfillment of what you prophesied, that Christ is on their way knocking. As he knocks on our hearts, Lord, may we open that Christ may enter, dwelling in us. And that a full representation of God dwelling in our souls be felt. We thank you, O Lord. Touch everybody who is weak, who is sick, and those especially in areas of war. Strengthen them and let them find refuge in your arms. Lord, we thank you that you have heard us. We thank you that in most cases when we don't even mention what we need, you provide. Let your providence be available unto your sons and daughters always. We thank you for the internet. We thank you for this chat room. Bless our dear elder Bob, who devised means and methods of maintaining it. Give us wisdom that we may always join to find comforting statements and comforting encouragements among ourselves. Do your work in your capacity, and let us only be instruments to accomplish what is remaining. We know so much that we are almost summarizing whatever is happening in the world. Let's be saved when Christ comes the second time. This is our honest, humble prayer in Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear Brother Joel. We are continuing in our study book. We're in the correct chapter this time. And I still don't know how I got 300 pages ahead last time. But we got a sneak peek at 300 pages ahead. But we are in chapter 31, Hope for the Heathen. Begins at the top of page 367. Throughout his ministry, Isaiah bore a plain testimony concerning God's purpose for the heathen. So Isaiah was not just for the Israelites. He was also for all people. Continuing. Other prophets had made mention of the divine plan, but their language was not always understood. To Isaiah, it was given to make very plain to Judah the truth that among the Israel of God were to be numbered many who were not descendants of Abraham after the flesh. This teaching was not in harmony with the theology of his age. Yet he fearlessly proclaimed the messages given him of God and brought hope to many a longing heart, reaching out after the spiritual blessings promised to the seed of Abraham. So what was the theology of the day and age in which Isaiah was called to be a prophet? Any ideas? Yeah, amen. Comment says they were exclusive to the Jews. So the Jews believed that they were the only people who could be saved. And in order for anyone who was not an Israelite to be saved, they had to become an Israelite. Now, you can go into Deuteronomy, and I think in Exodus, and find areas in which God said that those strangers, they were called, who wants to join themselves to me are welcome, and they'll be welcome in the temple as well. But the Jews seem to believe that the temple in which the great I Am dwelt was exclusive only to the descendants of Abraham. And anyone who was not a descendant of Abraham had no right to enter or to pray or to be connected with their temple. And that's still pretty much a belief today among the Jews, is that there's no Gentile that's allowed to come in within that court area around the wall. It's considered holy and only for the Jews. But here we see that God gave Isaiah a ministry that was not just to the Jews, but was also to those who were not Jews. Because the Creator was not just the Creator of Abraham, He was the Creator of those who were before Abraham, before any Hebrews, to the first parents of our race, Adam and Eve. So every individual in this world has their Creator as the God of heaven. So then every human being has a right to go to their Creator. It's not exclusive to one race over another, even though God chose the Israelites to represent Him to the rest of those in heathenism and paganism. So we still see that same exclusivism among the Jews today, but it's not just limited today. It's unlimited in the churches. You have this same kind of exclusive belief that you have to be a Nazarene in order to find God and find salvation. Or you have to be an Adventist in order to find God and have salvation. Or you have to be a Catholic. It's permeating the churches today. It's also not limited to denominations. We find it among those that have separated from every corrupt Babylonian church. That same belief that you have to be part of this ministry or that ministry in order to be blessed of God. And every other ministry not connected with that ministry can't be used of God. Yeah, it's part of human nature, selfishness. Me, myself, and I, my ministry, my church, my... You know, my institution to the exclusion of all others. But we find that God has his remnant people among many nations, not just one. Any thoughts or comments or insights before we continue? Yeah, amen. It's encouraging to those who are not Christian to understand that God is reaching out to them with the message of salvation, the message of love. Amen. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
The apostle to the Gentiles, in his letter to the believers in Rome, calls attention to this characteristic of Isaiah's teaching. Isaiah is very bold, Paul declares, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Romans 10, verse 20.
Amen. So the apostle to the Gentiles, to the heathen, to those that were non-Israelites, God raised Paul up to reach out to those who were not considered God's chosen people and to bring them a message of hope. And Paul goes all the way back to the Old Testament to show that it was God's perfect will for the Gentiles to be brought into the family of God. And he quotes from Isaiah's prophecy, I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. So here, the message of the love of God is being sent to those who didn't ask for it. In other words, who were not God's chosen people. So God doesn't want any human being to be lost, regardless of their nationality, their race, their color, their ideology, their philosophy. He wants everyone to come to a knowledge of salvation in Jesus Christ so that they can avoid being destroyed in the wrath of God and the plagues. And praise God that he's not exclusive, right? His message is for all. In fact, we were all ordained to come to Jesus Christ and find salvation. Yeah, amen. Regardless of our past. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be changed. And you can become like wool, something precious. Yeah, amen. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Any comments or thoughts before we move to the next paragraph?
Often the Israelites seemed unable or unwilling to understand God's purpose for the heathen. Yet it was this very purpose that had made them a separate people and had established them as an independent nation among the nations of earth, of the earth. Abraham had established Abraham, their father, to whom the covenant promise was first given, had been called to go forth from their father. To the regions beyond, that he might be a light bearer to the heathen. Although the promise to him includes charity, as numerous as the sand by the sea, yet it was for no selfish purpose that he was to become the founder of a great nation in the land of Canaan. God's covenant with him embraced all the nations of earth. I will bless thee, Jehovah declared, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Genesis 12:2-3.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Dot. So one of the reasons that God sent Abraham among the Canaanites was to be a witness of God to the heathen. One reason why Jacob and the 69 souls that were with him were sent to Egypt was to be a witness to the Egyptians and to all other peoples. So it was not to hide themselves away in a cave. It was not to separate themselves and isolate themselves away from all other people that God chose Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Israel. It was so that they could witness God and give glory to him among the heathen. And it's the same with us, dear ones. God calls all of us, and he has us in specific areas all around the world. We're not all gathered together in one locality, right? He has us exactly where he wants us to be able to be his witnesses to those with whom we meet. And to share the message of salvation, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what a privilege it is to be co-laborers with God in working together to seek and to save the lost. There's no greater work. Any thoughts or comments before we go to the next paragraph?
in the renewal of the covenant shortly before the birth of Isaac, God's purpose for mankind was again made plain. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, was the assurance of the Lord concerning the child of promise, Genesis 18:18. And later the heavenly visitant once more declared, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, Genesis 22:18.
Amen. Amen. Any thoughts or comments on this paragraph? Yeah, amen. It is a far-reaching prophecy to the end of time, in fact. Because even though the physical lineage of Abraham is no longer important since the death of Christ, the spiritual connection with Abraham is vastly important. All nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. So if we, through Christ, become connected with the posterity of Abraham, right, because Christ was from the lineage of Abraham, then we share in that blessing. So through Jesus, not through Hebrews, not through Jews, not through Israel, but through Jesus, we become connected with the blessing that God bestowed upon Abraham. So Christ is the connecting link to become blessed in Abraham. And in thy seed, you can look at this even further. You can say seed. It doesn't say seeds, in thy many offspring. In thy seed, singular, which can refer to Christ. So in Christ shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So Christ destroyed the barrier between Jew and Gentile. He destroyed that division between male and female. He obliterated the division that mankind wants to place among various groups. So you don't need to visit any particular church, regardless of the name, regardless of how long they've been in existence, in order to become connected with God and become part of the body of Christ. All you have to do is connect yourself directly to Jesus Christ, and in doing so, you immediately become part of his body, and thus, you're able to share in the blessing that God put upon Abraham. So there's no more any need to find just one particular church in order to worship God in. Or to find one particular people, or one particular denomination, because in Christ you have salvation. And you can come to Christ wherever you may be, even in the dankest, darkest, lowest dungeon cell in isolation, right? You can still connect yourself with Christ even there. Any thoughts, comments, insights, dear ones? Questions before we move on? And who would like to read this next paragraph?
The all-embracing terms of this covenant were familiar to Abraham's children and to his children's children. It was in order that the Israelites might be a blessing to the nations and that God's name might be made known throughout all the earth, Exodus chapter 9, verse 16, that they were delivered from Egyptian bondage. If obedient to his requirements, they were to be placed far in advance of other peoples in wisdom and understanding. But this supremacy was to be reached and maintained only in order that through them the purpose of God for all nations of the earth might be fulfilled.
Amen. Amen. So it was God's purpose that the Israelites were to make God's name known throughout all the earth. And he would do that by placing Jerusalem right in the midst of that vast area in the Middle East. And that way, when people traveled that road, they'd come to Jerusalem, they'd hear about God's name, they'd then be convicted and continue on in their trade route until they reached the other side, and they would tell others about it. But that's if the Israelites remained obedient to God. He would bless them. They would be far in advance of all other nations in wisdom and understanding, and thus people would come to them for knowledge and understanding, and they would point to God as the source of that, and that would just lead those people to want to be connected with God, to become blessed like the Israelites were. But because Israel did not remain obedient to God, he could not bless them to be far in advance of other peoples in wisdom and understanding. And thus, all that they received was his cursings. It was God's original purpose for them to make God known throughout the earth, but because they followed the devil's plan to limit themselves among themselves and to spurn all other peoples, that they were to be conquered. They were to be scattered throughout all the earth. And so then they could come back to God because of their sins, because of the cursings that they had come into, they could repent from their apostasy and become faithful to God, but not in Israel anymore. It would be in the nations, the communities, wherever they were carried away to. So God's original purpose would be fulfilled one way or another, right? In obedience and faithfulness to him, they could remain where they were, and all the other peoples would come to them. But if they were disobedient and refused to repent, then God would scatter them all over the earth so that the knowledge of the great I Am could be spread all over the earth. Any other thoughts or comments, Stuart? So it's still God's purpose to spread his message to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And we're told in several places that Christ could have come ere this, In other words, before the time that it was written or was talked about. It's revealed in the spirit of prophecy that Christ could have come shortly after 1844, that he could have come shortly after 1888, he could have come shortly after 1901. Well, there was no internet back then, was there? The only telecommunications, if you could call it that, was well, they had Morse code over the over that kind of electric line. They had telephones that came back came up in the late 1800s. But because God's people at that time were unfaithful, God could not come. All kindreds, tongues, peoples, and nations had not been reached in their generation. So time had to continue on. God's will is that every people in the entire world will have an opportunity to hear the message of salvation. And so now God allowed the internet to be created. Other telecommunication platforms have been developed. They're being introduced into tribal localities. So that, yeah, Pony Express back in the days. So that there's the ability for every person in every place on this earth to have the opportunity to hear the message of salvation. So God has raised up you and me as his witnesses to let others know about the God of love, the God of creation, the God of redemption and salvation, regardless of nationality, race, kindred, gender, regardless of all that. So what are you doing to share God and his glory to others? That's why he allowed us to have life for just such a time as this. We could have been born back in the 1500s. We could have been born just after the flood. Why now? It's because God has a purpose that you or I could not fill at any past time in history, but we could fulfill it for just such a time as this. So it's not a mistake that you were given life in this day and age. God has a work for you to do, regardless of how young or old you might be. And that is to witness him to others. Yeah, could have been born into slavery. That's true. So just such a time as this, God allowed you to be born. He allowed you to come into a knowledge of the truth. He allowed you the wisdom and the comprehension to understand it, to become founded upon the rock Christ Jesus, so that you may be able to share him with others. Are you doing that? Any thoughts or comments before we move on, dear ones? comment in the room says, I like the period of the 1500s in English history. Yeah, I wouldn't want to live back then, though. Very few homes had running water. Very few homes had any kind of sanitary disposal of waste. There was no matches that you could start fires with. I mean, it was a pretty difficult time to live back then compared to today.
The marvelous providences connected with Israel's deliverance from Egyptian bondage and with their occupancy of the promised land led many of the heathen to recognize the God of Israel as the supreme ruler. The Egyptians shall know, had been the promise that I am the Lord, which when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt, and bring out the children of Israel from among them. Exodus 7:5. Even proud Pharaoh was constrained to acknowledge Jehovah's power. Go serve the Lord, he urged Moses and Aaron, and bless me also. Exodus 12:31 and 32. By that time he needed it.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. Any thoughts or comments?
I was just wondering about the last two lines. Even proud Pharaoh is constrained to acknowledge Jehovah's power. Go serve the Lord, he urged Moses and Aaron, and bless me also. I wonder if Pharaoh really thought Moses and Aaron could bless him, or if he didn't realize that blessings come from the Lord.
Perhaps it was by way of through them, the same way that the plagues came through them following God's commands. That's just a thought, but let's get some feedback.
Yeah, remember Pharaoh was accustomed to the gods speaking through priests, and that if he wanted favor of the gods, he had to ask the priest to intervene or intercede for him. Whereas God was trying to get Pharaoh to understand that he was in control, that God was in control. And Moses and Aaron were just his spokesmen, but they were not the channel through which blessing or cursing came to Pharaoh. It was Pharaoh's own choices that brought disaster to Egypt. It was Pharaoh's own choice to reject the Lord that brought destruction to his country. But being raised in a philosophy that led you to look to other men in order to connect with the gods was very difficult, I imagine, for Pharaoh to break away from. But he recognized that there was the Lord God of Israel, and he recognized that Moses and Aaron were his spokesmen, but he was still asking Moses and Aaron to bless him. So you can see the struggle going on with Pharaoh and having to swallow his pride and admit that the God of Hebrew slaves was greater than the God of the mighty Egyptians. And we still have that same kind of problem today, where if God raises up an individual and blesses them tremendously, or a ministry or a church or whatever it may be, people tend to look to the leader in that church or ministry or individual themselves as being someone special or more closely connected to God than they could ever be. And so they tend to exalt the human as a way, a mediator for them and God. But regardless of whether the highest church leader is a president or a pope, regardless of the one individual that may lead out in a ministry or be the face for a particular institution, they are not any closer to God than anyone else can be. They can't bless you in the same way God can. So we need to avoid putting individuals on a pedestal, and then if they should happen to fall, we then throw away the faith or throw away the message that they were connected with. The only one we need to have on that pedestal is Jesus Christ. And it's the truth in Jesus that we cling to. We don't cling to an individual on this earth. We cling to the Lord Jesus and the truth that he is. And if we do that, then our faith is built in God, in Christ, in God through Christ, right? It's not placed in a human. Even though they may speak 100% truth. Our faith is placed in the Lord. And then it doesn't matter how many people may fall. It's not going to shake our faith. Because Jesus will never fall. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if we're founded on the rock, it doesn't matter how many people may give way in the storm and tempest, because our Lord will never give way. Any thoughts or comments, Dylan? Would like to read the next paragraph.
Advancing coast of Israel found that knowledge of the mighty workings of the God of the Hebrews, had gone before them, and that some among the heathen were learning that he alone was the true God. In wicked Jericho, the testimony of a heathen woman was, "The Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Joshua 2:11. The knowledge of Jehovah that had thus come to her proved her salvation. By faith, Rahab perished not with them that believed not, Hebrews 11:31. And her conversion was not an isolated case of God's mercy toward idolaters who acknowledged his divine authority. In the midst of the land, a numerous people, the Gibeonites, renounced their heathenism and united with Israel, sharing in the blessings of the covenant. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So because of God allowing Jacob and his posterity to go to Egypt, and they were there for 430 years, and then in delivering them, all of the miracles that God wrought in order to break down the pride of Pharaoh and allow his people to go. I mean, God could have just pulled them right out, right? But he went through this process of miracle after miracle after miracle in order to break down the pride of Pharaoh, so that Pharaoh allowed his people to go out. He did all that for a purpose. It was to show that the pagan gods were nothing, but there was a true God, the great I Am. And that knowledge that there was a true God and all the other paganistic beliefs in gods were false. That was accomplishing the work of bringing conversion to heathen believers. So when you think about it, God could have destroyed Pharaoh when his first refusal occurred, but he allowed it to go on and on and on until the end. That was all for the purpose of spreading the message of salvation throughout the world. So this shows us that God's in control. That when things occur that we don't understand, it's for a purpose. God's not caught off guard. It didn't catch him by surprise. He knew what was going to happen. He allowed it to occur so that the result was as he willed it. Yeah, amen. God's perfect will be done. Yes. So even though it brought greater suffering to the Israelites to go through this process, that suffering brought them closer to God. It tested their faith. So it wasn't just the Egyptians that were being tested by all of this. It was also the Israelites. And the end result was their deliverance. So God's in control. His purpose is that we all might be delivered from sin, from wickedness, that we all might be in different areas from where we thought we should be happy to remain, right? The land of Goshen was the best land in all Egypt. That's where the Israelites were. But even though it appeared to be like a promised land to them, that wasn't where God wanted them. At the time, he wanted them there, but now it came time for them to go to a different area. And the process that involved them moving from one to another dealt with being able to share the knowledge of God wherever he would want them to be. Amen. So God's in control. And you may wonder why God allowed pagan neighbors to move next door to Michelle and I. That was a beautiful area where we were. But it wasn't God's ultimate will that we remain there. Now we're in a much better area, all around. Didn't think it was possible, but the area where we are now is so much better than where we were. And it's still up to the Lord to say, this is where I want you to be, or if there's a different area, I want you over here. The point is, we're not our own. We've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So we may think that where we are is best, but we're not the authority on that. God is. And if we take our plans, our desires, our wishes, and lay them at the feet of our Savior, that's what he's asking for. To submit all to him. And in return, he gives us everything that he sees we need in order to be saved. And he goes beyond that. He gives us things that we may not even have asked for, just to manifest how much he loves and cares for us. But the point is, he's in control. We're not. And I praise God that he's in control and that he has such a loving care and interest in my life and my family's life that he's going to do everything he sees is necessary in order for us to be saved. Yeah, amen. Isaiah 55 verse 8. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So the key is submission, humility. Not my will, but thy will be done. Pharaoh had a very difficult time learning that. And he lost everything before it started to dawn on him. And it only stayed with him for a little bit, about 3 days. And then he was no longer humble, submissive. I pray, dear ones, that once we learn the lesson to be submissive and humble to God, that we don't lose that lesson, that we cling to it, because he dwells with the humble and the contrite. But the proud and the froward, he is far away from. It's the prayer of the humble that he hears. The prayer of the proud is an abomination. Any thoughts, comments, questions? Please go right ahead. Amen. Psalms 34:18 is put in the room. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and such and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Amen. Fall on the rock and be broken. That's the best way The other way is to remain proud, and then the rock is going to fall on you and grind you to powder. And then the wind is going to blow you away. Nothing left. And who would like to read the next paragraph? Well, I'll go ahead and read it. No distinction on account of nationality, race, or caste is recognized by God. He is the maker of all mankind. All men are of one family by creation, and all are one through redemption. Christ came to demolish every wall of partition, to throw open every compartment of the temple courts, that every soul may have free access to God. His love is so broad, so deep, so full, that it penetrates everywhere. It lifts out of Satan's influence those who have been deluded by his deceptions and places them within reach of the throne of God, the throne encircled by the rainbow of promise. In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free. Amen. We're all one in Christ. Any final thoughts or comments, dear ones? We'll go ahead and stop there for tonight, and next time we'll pick it up at the paragraph that starts out, in the years that followed. And that's about halfway down on page 370. So any final thoughts or comments? Okay, any other thoughts, comments, questions, testimonies, songs, anything else you'd like to share, dear ones? Please go right ahead.
Thanking the Lord again for sparing mercies for yet one more week to bring us through. Keeping you all in prayer, we actually list each one by name, and it's good to know the updates of each one each week, and remembering every time someone is asking for prayer here or an email, we write it down and put it before the Lord. I actually do have an unspoken request for my youngest brother, Weston. And I keep you all in prayer, and thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I do praise God for all blessings seen and unseen.
Amen. And a big praise the Lord that you were able to join us.
Yeah, that was kind of scary. And by God's grace, you know, getting in touch with Auntie Sister Michelle, and she finally gave us the info how to get back in, because we kept trying and trying and trying. And then even Sabbath, we couldn't seem to get in or anything. So, yeah, praise the Lord, we were able to get back in.
Yeah, amen. So glad to have you both back in fellowship with us. And we've been keeping you in prayer, and thank you for your prayers for us as well. Again, I want to mention, in case you weren't here in the beginning of the meeting, a special prayer request for my brother-in-law, Ken. He's in the hospital. He has pneumonia. He has a fungal infection. And he was gradually growing weaker and weaker in fighting both of those ailments at the same time. So they figured as a best resort was to put him into a coma, to intubate him, to allow machines to breathe on his behalf so that they could allow his body to rest, recuperate, and hopefully to overcome this infection that was slowly taking away all of his life. So please keep him in prayer. My sister is doing okay, but she also requests prayers. She says they're very welcome. Ken, we're not sure what his belief is, whether he accepts Christ or not. My sister, we do. She accepts Jesus, but she has become so soured by denominationalism that the truth has a weaker hold on her than it should. So please keep them both in prayer, and thank you so much for doing so.
Yes, thank you so much. Yeah, I have some two platforms. I will also pass the call on to keeping our dear ones in prayer. As much as we may not know how deep they believe in Christ, but we know at least they have heard about Christ as their Savior. And that's why they are saying, pray for us. You know, something strange has gone extra. We are now mechanically living. When you see, yeah, in Africa, Nancy, my kids, and funny conditions of the liking, where they could just bring oxygen to pump in life. It's a serious condition, so we need really to consider them in prayers, whether they deeply believe in Christ or not. But at one point, they know there is a living God who gave them life. Now they want to seek His help and support for them to live longer. Otherwise, I was saying, I have two platforms in the evening, and maybe tomorrow again. You know, today is now Sabbath, 4 hours is the time. I'll pass those requests on their behalf for prayers. Otherwise, allow me also say thank you for your prayers. We have dined into a season of social media where Elaba I just mentioned denominalism of doctrines maybe sometimes try us our thinking and mind, because when you open these gadgets, you can see many doctrines, many verses, but all in all, I thank God they talk about the living God. Then the other thing is what I wanted to thank and also maybe put it as a request, that I've been encouraged by Michael, who has joined us. I've taken long without seeing him join us, but now I was encouraged that yesterday I saw him joining evening virtual worship in Upper Hill, that is in Nairobi. We talk over the Nairobi chat room. Then today I've seen him, then plus our other chat rooms, we join with him. And Makaro has been doing a very great work. As it so far tried to translate, I have two tracks of his in Arabic. One he picked from Bobo's site, The 400 of Empires, translated into Arabic. Unfortunately, as we were waiting to request for funds and find a way of printing them out, then his family was hit by the cold. So we also have to put him in prayer for their family, and they are now in a new place. We don't know how they are pushing, but we are praying for them. But the real issue was He had done me good, so much good work that I had trusted that we are supposed to be sent, that are actually planned for the Maghreb region where they use Arabic and there's war almost all the time. And now we are going to use this trust for approach in those areas. But unfortunately, Satan hit us and haven't raised funds to print them out. They are sending soft copies without love, and he has access to anybody who knows Arabic. We are free to send them. He also translated her mama's booklet into Arabic, and that was now very great and encouraging to young men now putting on shoes of our dear ones like Bobo Sesra and the Snipes and the others, meaning sustain a bit of the work until the price comes. So I'm glad when I see them now team up. You know, social media has come now maybe like a way forward for generation to pick information very fast. Not like those days when you could wait for either Bob to send a box, it takes 3 months or 2 weeks to reach us. You now go to the portal and find out what did Ellen White. But then there is one challenge with us. Now, those in the deep dark, let's say in Africa, where sometimes things are very hard, we also need to continue with the old method of passing away the message, passing out the message to them. So now, the other simple request accompanying that is that we're only praying that let God provide us with some funds so that we can print those messages to reach where we want them reach. And Mark Awell, thank you. May the good Lord bless you. We do more extra translations. I know the commitment taken to do that needs real soul searching and real commitment for the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you. So we pray that anybody with something that he can put in, let him put in our inbox for that work to be accomplished, so that my dear brother Mark Owen can be encouraged that what he did was not in vain, but he could go and do great work elsewhere. I'm only scared with the doctrine that is in America again. That says America first, Mark. Then it means Africa will go again in the real darker continent of the doctrinal message that goes on social media. As we think we are coming out of the dark, then we shall be sent into the dark, deep darker continent where every doctrine will come by no clarity of it. And there was with a view that as we stand out in the different locations, we are there stand as the morning stars to show Christ is soon to come, and with appointed message with a certain sound, really. As I read these messages that come out of our collisions, then I say, praise the Lord, we are in among these ones as stars and morning. When I reflect what is happening, when I join the Upper Hill chat room, then those people think I'm highly learned when Bob and the others have made me what I am to talk to them. They feel I have good guidance to them all the time. When I miss joining them, then you hear many messages going, hey, we missed you. What happened? Where are you? Then you can give them lame excuses when you want to avoid them. But the real issue is, the social media has brought us closer to very important, maybe powerful people. Let's say, like in Nairobi, Upper Hill, it's a chat room of elites. We are using a universal link. You can see the Lord provided a free where we don't pay, but you freely go in, you freely use it. It's a universal link for students, and one of the professors called Silas gave it to us. He was in the meeting when I encouraged those people to start a chat room so that we can now get. Now, they have also gotten up a guard they now contact other pastors in different countries, Ghana, Nigeria, to invite them to come here. And now what is our role? What is my major issue? Is to see that we give in a special message that will call them out as Revelation 18 says, let them come out and not be separate. And I'm only saying, may the Holy Spirit guide us to stand among them and give them the right message. They now cling. When you push one who ministers among us to them, they now cling on to him and they think he has the wholesome truth. But I'm only saying, it's your effort, it's your preparation, it's your teaching as we come on this virtual fellowship that encourages us and gives us strength to stand among them. I have others like Professor Rianda in South Africa. He's a Bible translator. But now when we talk, because of the message we have received from him, he thinks we are also learned. This is a highly learned professor who has gone to the level of translating Bibles into from Aramaic, Hebrew, you know, because he knows Hebrew proper and Greek. He has learned to that level. Then there's also Professor Sylvester Charles. They're all in South Africa. But now, because of being encouraged on this virtual fellowship, on this chat room, I get the God also by His grace to speak to them at the same level and they will say, yes, my brother, what's this, what's this? Then we share. And this one brings conformity that where they are landing the other fields, but we all need to learn from Christ. This has given me an encouragement. So when we say we are only praying for some funding to have these small lessons extracted from the big library of our theology, then indeed we mean these lessons tip them from their extra learning they have acquired from elsewhere to bring them to the level that they should understand Christ clear. They should understand the doctrine, the message we preach as the present truth. You know, they know many things, but now what they lack is the clarity of the present truth, clarity of how do we relate with our God. And when younger men like Michael comes up, and because you are saying, Joel, let's look for somebody. But then when sickness struck at their home, their family, then it was a tragedy. I mean, Satan is trying to call. Then the word doctrine, make America great, then means, for us who are in Africa, will not be thought about. It will be a long track of thinking. That's Joel also in Africa doing somewhere. Then somebody will say, oh, let me now push a penny to Africa. Now, that apart, we're only saying, thank you for your prayers that I believe the work is going ahead in Africa. And, you know, when the Upper Hill professors link us to other professors in other countries like Ghana, LSU, Nigeria, Malawi, then it's still more expansion of the work. We stand among them because when they introduce you, who is this one? Joel, Pastor from Uganda. Who is this one? Kenneth. Okay. I mean, we still need your support in prayers and also financial to have these materials printed locally here in our hand so that we directly send them, not like could be done in America and then sent here. So I thank you all for your prayers. I thank you all for your support. May the Lord give you strength and open many ways that we may do many things more than we do. Finally, I've been having a challenge of, you know, in my house, I don't have power. So I'm forced to rent. You know, I have a small copier where I rent and the power. But then the landlord is bad on me. Maybe I thank again that he, in most cases, sends support immediately, and I thank God that he has provided some support. I'm going to clear with the landlord and the paperwork, and then move on. Otherwise, may the God bless you in whatever you do for the African cause, for the cause of present truth, that Christ may come soon and take us home when we comprehend we have a God among us, working among us. Others, God bless you all. Happy Sabbath.
Amen. May God bless you also, dear brother, and happy Sabbath to you as well. We'll definitely be keeping the African work and the spreading of the truth in the various countries, and especially God raising up other laborers to send into his harvest field. So, amen, dear brother. Any other thoughts or comments, testimonies, please feel free.
I have a song we should sing. Psalm 34 was mentioned. I don't think we've sung this for quite a while. It has the inspiration of Henry VIII. And feel free to join, Luce. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, the Lord with me, the Lord with me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name. They looked unto him and were lightened, were lightened, were lightened. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. O taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord is good, the Lord is good. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. That was beautiful to connect it there with Psalms 34. So, dear ones, any other songs that you'd like to sing, any other testimonies that you'd like to give, or thoughts that you'd like to bring forth before we have closing prayer, please go right ahead. Praise God for allowing us the freedom once again to be able to meet together without harassment, without opposition, and to unite our voices in praising our God from whom all blessings flow. Look forward to meeting with you again soon. And please join with me for closing prayer. Precious Father, thank you so very much for developing the plan of our salvation, thank you for your great love and for your earnest desire that we be with you forevermore and avoid eternal death with the devil. Thank you, Savior, for voluntarily carrying out your part in this great plan. And thank you, dear Spirit, for impressing the truth upon our hearts and making this plan effectual in our lives, indeed transforming us from death to life, from sin to righteousness, from error to truth, from selfishness to self-sacrifice. Please forgive us for fighting against this great plan instead of working in harmony with it. And please, Spirit, continue to prick our hearts, to reprove and correct us, that we may be ever growing in grace, growing less selfish and more like our Savior, and exhibiting more of godly love to others as each day goes by. Thank you for calling us to be witnesses of Jesus to all that we meet, that we communicate with through all the various means of communication. And please bless our efforts that many more precious souls will come into connection with the truth as it is in Jesus and to come directly to the Savior for salvation, for help, for deliverance, for healing, for freedom. Father, we pray that you will answer the prayers for Kenny and my sister, for the Mark Wells, for Petwa, for Raleigh, for all that have requested prayers, whether known or unknown. Thank you for knowing each one. Thank you for answering according to thy perfect will. Thank you, Savior, for being there as well as our great physician from all mental, physical, spiritual ailments. And thank you that we have life in you. Be with us now as we part. Bring us back together again soon. And continue to lead and guide us upward, ever higher, is my prayer. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, dear ones. So until we meet again, keep growing in grace, in knowledge, and keep looking up.
Keep looking up. Thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up. He will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up. The darkest cloud will swirl away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.